Another classic freeze press conference, and hey, we learned quite a bit.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast, and I'm your host, Charlie Five, or Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five. Still got to get used to that. And happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday. We are ready to – we're one a few more days closer, a day closer to game day this weekend. And Hugh Freeze had a press conference yesterday, and it was a classic Hugh Freeze press conference. Told us a lot about – I think he told us a lot about what to expect this weekend, and we're going to dive into that shortly. But before we get started, you know we got to give a shout-out to our boy Ford Stokes. I'm sorry, I'm not going to have the ad today. With Active Wealth Management, you can check him out at retirementresults.com/plan and get you a custom portfolio analysis. He's an Auburn guy. You can guarantee that your money's not going to go towards Alabama's NIL. You call him, tell him War Eagle, tell him I sent you. Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Hugh Freeze had his press conference, his weekly game day, I guess, press conference yesterday. Asked a lot of different questions, and he gave some really, really cool answers, some really funny answers. And I'm going to dive into a little bit of some of the stuff that he talked about. Right off the bat, we find out Hugh hates depth charts, okay? Hugh is not a big fan of depth charts. He does not think that they serve a huge purpose. And he knows that it's important to folks like me and you, but he's not a big fan of them. And he talked about that. He said, you know, I know it's important to a lot of folks, but, you know, it's just the guy that goes out on the field first. And he said, ultimately, who cares? Who cares who goes out on the who goes out first? Because a lot of guys are going to play. And I think that says a lot. I think it says two big things. Number one, the depth that we've been hearing about, the depth that we believe there is, especially on offense, definitely on defense, is there. Because why would it matter? Why would it, if the first guy is so much far ahead of everybody else, you're not going to necessarily be worrying about playing multiple people or multiple people playing, or the fact that the starter doesn't really matter because there's going to be a lot of rotation because you're so deep. It wouldn't really matter if you weren't as deep as we believe we possibly could be. So I think that kind of shined a light, especially on the offensive side. The wide receiver room, he said, was going to be an open rotation. In other words, they're going to be running in guys, playing a ton of guys. It's not just going to be the starting three that you see on the list. You know, it's not just going to be Cam Coleman, Robert Lewis, and Keandre Lambert-Smith, which are technically the starters across the line. But hey, you're probably going to see a ton of Malcolm Simmons. You're going to see a ton of Perry Thompson. You're going to see a ton of Samuel Jackson. Heck, you may even see some Wildcat Samuel Jackson, which is classic. That is so hilarious to me. Go ahead and put it out there. Put it on film where other coaches have to spend, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes of their practice at least trying to figure out what they're going to do. If Auburn were to show that look, why not show something like that in this game for at least a play or two? I'm not a huge Wildcat fan, never been a huge Wildcat fan, but I think it's funny in this type of game to go ahead and throw something out there for people to see. So the depth is there. The depth seems like it's there because there's going to be multiple people playing. Hugh basically said it right out of his mouth. Open rotation is what he said. Also, I think it shows, hey, you've been excited about these freshmen. You've been excited to hear about this freshman. You're going to see him on Saturday. You're going to see him on Saturday. When you're talking about the open rotation for the wide receivers, mostly the guys on the second team are the freshmen. So I think it's very clear based off that you're going to be able to see – a lot of the young guys that you've been hoping to see, that you've been hearing so much about. I think he basically told you right there, be expecting to see a lot of the young guys, and I think that should get us a little bit fired up, a little bit more fired up, because that's confirmation right there. Confirmation right there that, A, these guys are legit, and B, hey, we're going to see them. We're not going to tuck these freshmen away in a closet for a year with a red shirt. No, they're going to get out there. They're going to get their feet wet right off the bat. And Hugh basically told you right there. So I think that's fun. Equally, I can't even say equally. I've never seen this before, okay? But I will say there, if there's anyone that hates depth charts more than Hugh Freeze, it's DJ Durkin. I have never seen in my life, 37 guys listed as starters, okay? So he had every single position, every single rung on the depth chart was an or. So there was 37 guys on defense that were listed as possible starters. Who's going to score on 37 guys? I mean, nobody will ever score on us. If we're rolling 37 starters out there, who's ever going to score a touchdown on Auburn? No, I think that's funny. That if you can't laugh at that, then that's a you problem. I mean, I've seen it in positions. Like, even on offense, there's an or at left tackle. So there was an or at left tackle with Percy Lewis or Tyler Johnson. I think it's obviously going to – I think Percy Lewis is going to run out there first, but clearly they're going to try some rotations where Tyler Johnson's out there. You know, you heard a lot about Tyler Johnson, and then I think maybe towards the back half of the camp when they maybe tried to see if he could take over the job, maybe struggled a little bit. But regardless – the defense, every single position is an or. We talked about defensive line could be a very, very deep group. Every single position, every single position, and it was like two or three deep as well, are or. So that means DJ also – DJ either hates depth charts more than anyone and he's just mocking everybody with his depth chart, or he really thinks that there's going to be a lot of different guys – play. I think, and I think that's going to be the case. I think that even, just insert position, you've seen a lot of guys, a lot of young guys be able to step up and get a lot of reps in this fall camp, and you've been able to hear a lot of positive things. DeMarcus Riddick comes to mind. J.C. Hart comes to mind. A lot of these young guys that are on campus, Jamonta Waller comes to mind, that you want to get as many reps as possible. I think that's great. I think that's something that you've been hoping for from Auburn. The front line at Auburn always seems like, you know, you're starting 22, always seem like they're at least competitive. But once you get past like 30 on the roster, once you get past that 30th player on the roster, there is a sharp, sharp drop. And it seems like, even, you know, talking about these depth charts, it seems like you're getting more and more to where you're getting that bigger, thicker roster from the aspect of dudes that can play at a high level. So Hugh does not like depth charts. He said it straight out of his mouth, and DJ Durkin despises depth charts. DJ Durkin mocks depth charts. I've never seen in my life 37 dudes. It's funny because when you're looking at a roster, they bold the names of the or. Okay, actually, they bold the names of the first guy. So, like, every position group, the name's bolded. This is on the official depth chart that Auburn releases. So, they bold the name of the starter, okay? So, they also bold the name of the or, okay? So, you'll see, like, a bold name for quarterback and then a not bold name for the next three quarterbacks. You'll see a bold name for the running back and then a regular font for the running backs. And then when you get to those ors, your two tackles, Percy Lewis or Tyler Johnson, both of those are bolded, and then you got your regular font. Well, the defensive side is just dark. It's just all bolded all the way down. 30 plus dudes. I think that's incredible. I think that's so very funny, and it's something. It's funny, but it's also exciting too, because it shows that there is a lot of depth there, a lot of guys that can step in and play. So. Looking to be excited about that. I had a good laugh over that on the press conference. But I think it also, even though it's funny, it reveals a lot about the team. Something that's been the talk has been the offensive line battle. Okay, the the left side of that offensive line. You feel like out of five guys, you got four that are locked in, okay? And on top of that, you feel like from the center to the right side is locked in. You've had no issues with Connor Lue. You've had no issues with Jeremiah Wright. You've had no issues with Azavian Miller. You feel like those three are locked in, and you feel like Dylan Wade is locked in as well. So you feel really good about those four, but you haven't quite found that magical combination yet of that starting five across the board. I think when the game starts on Saturday, you're going to see Percy Lewis and Dylan Wade on that left side. And then after that, I think it'll kind of depend on success. It'll kind of depend on what's going on with the flow of the game before they experiment. I think you'll see Dylan Wade slide out at tackle. I think you'll see Tyler Johnson at tackle. I think you'll see probably some different left guards there whenever Dylan Wade slides out at tackle. But the one thing that Hugh said that I thought was very interesting, and it kind of shined a light on the defense as well. He says, "Look, if we may not be able to find that quite." We haven't been able to find possibly that magical little combination yet. We're going to experiment with a lot of different things, and we may not know for a couple of games. And I think that's totally fine, especially when it's not because you feel like you don't have any talent. It's because you got a lot, you got some depth, and you're trying to figure out the right combination of that depth to be able to have the best offensive line. But he said it won't be because. If we don't have success, it won't be because we haven't seen some look that we're not ready for. Because with DJ, he's thrown everything that we could possibly imagine at us during this fall camp and even into spring. And I think that sort of shines a light on what to expect out of this defensive side. That's what DJ Durkin's really known for. Honestly, last year, I kind of dug the different looks that Ron Roberts put together. It wasn't just your base every single time. Like, you had dudes lined up in different places. You had guys coming from different angles. And I like that. It sounds like that's what DJ threw at this offense the whole camp, to the point where they don't feel like there's anything on the offensive lines, the offensive side, that the defense can show you that's going to be a surprise. That's going to be something that you haven't repped, that you haven't practiced. And the depth and the talent also goes into that, because the different type players allow you to give different looks as well. So I thought that was a very interesting comment, to be able to say, hey, look, we may not have the success that we're looking for right off the bat. We're trying to find that right combination. But it won't be because Alabama A&M is going to show us something, or Cal's going to show us something, or somebody's going to show us something that we haven't been prepared for, a look that we haven't seen, because DJ has literally thrown every possible combination out there, and it's something that we're trying to work through on the offensive side to get better and better and better. I don't have so much of a problem week one seeing a little bit of experiments on the offensive line. I really don't. And I almost wonder if I wonder if the disruption that DJ's caused is a lot of the reason that the offensive line has struggled. And it's not so much that they don't have the talent or you don't have the right combination, as it is that just DJ's just frustrating, man. He's just frustrating the offensive line. He's able to get you in positions where you get confused. You may not know exactly your assignment, because there's movement, and it's different from one snap to the other. I just wonder sometimes if maybe that has a lot to do with what we're hearing along the offensive line, and it's less at, you're not talented, or you're not getting the play right, or you're not being able to, you just don't have the dudes yet. I think we got the dudes. I think you do have to find the right combination, but also, hey, let's give this defense a little bit of credit. I mean, they've got 37 starters. I mean, you got 37 starters on defense. I mean, that's got to be tough to defend. You never know who's going to be out there. You never know what kind of look you're going to get because these guys are good. These guys are good, and they can put a lot of different stuff out there for you to have to be able to be prepared for. So I thought that was interesting. I think that's a fun expectation for the defense, that it's not going to be the same old. You're going to see a lot of different formations. You're going to see a lot of different alignments, a lot of different personnel packages. And, you know, it seems like it's frustrated the offense a little bit to the point where we're not 100% sure that we got the right offensive line combination out there. So I think that's something to get kind of excited for. And then the last thing, Hugh seems locked in, man. I know that last year he had the whole take a step back from the play calling, take a step back from the offense for the first time in my career. Let's really hit the ground running on recruiting. This year he's taking over the offense. He's going to be calling the plays. He's sort of spearheaded this surge of commitments to try to get a bunch of dudes in the boat before the season starts, because he knows the energy and the how much it takes to be able to actually run an effective offense. It's not just, hey, I'll show up on Saturday, y'all give me the playbook, and we're going to play a little Xbox. No, it's everything from breaking down offensive tendencies to try to figure out the right personnel that you're going to be facing, diagnosing everything about those guys, coming up with what their weaknesses are. I mean, it's a full-time deal. It's not just something you can just jump on and it's like riding a bike. You just pick it back up and go. And he seems locked in. You talk, and it doesn't even seem like he's only locked in on offense. I mean, he's calling out defensive players in the press conference. And I love when coaches are talking about the opposing team, because you can tell it's just about film. Like, I'm just watching film, and I'm going to see what pops up, because we're just talking about them in numbers. We're not calling them by name. We got to watch five at safety. Got to watch seven at tight. They got a really good tight end seven. You got to watch seven. Stuff like that. That just goes to show me, hey, this little the little color scheme that's going on with Alabama A&M, that color scheme got them last year with New Mexico State, and it seems like Hugh's locked in now. And you can tell he's more in the mix as far as the game planning goes, and I think it's on both sides, because he talked about the quarterbacks as well. I think they don't really know who you're going to see. They don't really know who we're going to see as far as the quarterback goes. I think they have two transfers, one from Miami of Ohio and one from either Georgia State or Georgia Southern. That's kind of a new element, too, to add to college football, because, no, you don't watch those guys in how they played at Alabama State or Alabama A&M last year. You're watching them at their previous college. So you have to find film on another school to break down and watch, so you can try to get some tendencies on how they played at a previous school, and then try to figure out how that's going to translate over to their new school. So Hugh seems locked in. He was very detailed when he talked about Alabama State, which I probably would not be. That this would be one of the ones that would catch me sort of off guard, because, I mean, they're so outmanned from Alabama A&M to Auburn that it's one of those games you just kind of show up. But I think Hugh has sort of, I don't want to say learned his lesson, but I think Hugh understands the urgency of not just showing up. I think he wants to go in and blow this team out and get it over with and get better and kind of learn some stuff, because I think they feel like they got a pretty solid roster and they can make some noise. No, you may not necessarily be a playoff contender, but you could probably compete at a much higher level and be able to scare some folks, be able to maybe knock some big boys off. You got a really good chance to start the season 5-0, and boy, the momentum that would come from that. And then on top of that, you got the recruiting aspect. You're still pushing so hard to finish this class out, and you really need some proof of concept, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So I can see Hugh being locked in, ready to come light it up. People think we're just going to – I've listened to a couple of shows. I mean, I was even on Zach's show this morning talking about how people think we're just going to run the ball down their throat and just get the game over with. I just don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it benefits Auburn that much to just run the ball down the throat and get this game over. I think they got to air it out. I think that's something that you got to see – I think it's something that you need to see. Deuce Knight's going to be on campus. I don't know that you want to have just a 156-yard passing performance with Deuce Knight in the stands. I know sometimes you can't call plays based off of who's in the stands, but I'm not necessarily saying that's the only reason, but that's a reason. That's got to be a reason. And then on top of it, you want to turn Peyton around if you're going to be able to sell, unless you're riding with Hank, if you want to sell this place in 2025 as a top transfer, location, unless it's just NIL, you better show some proof of concept and you better let Peyton go ahead and let it rip. I think this is a good opportunity for him to get in rhythm early as well. So, a lot of fun from the press conference. There's a lot more information going on that you'll be seeing the rest of the week. You need to sign up for thebarnauburn.com. You get it for $1 for your first month. You'll have all kinds of insight, all kinds of angles to look at things. Great conversation. We got a Friday night insights thread that's a constant updating high school stats. All kinds of stuff, good conversation, a lot of friends you can make at the same time as well. $1 for the first month, thebarnauburn.com. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter for constant updates as well. And then we'll just catch you again tomorrow. We're going to be here every single day, another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.